Mayor Chukwuma Lumumba, thank you so much for joining us on Upfront.
Thank you for having me. Always good to talk with you.
There are about 160,000 residents in Jackson, which is Mississippi's capital city. The majority of them, starting in August of this year, lacked access to potable water. People captured videos of brown water in their sinks and in their bathtubs. And for a few days in September, many people didn't have any water coming out of their faucets. Today, the residents of Jackson continue to face water insecurity, and many are relying on bottled water, often supplied by grassroots organizations, community-led efforts, and other things. We're talking about a situation where unsafe water is not an outlier. It's the norm. In fact, the DOJ, the Department of Justice, has taken steps to establish a third-party monitor to ensure that water in the city is safe to drink. Help me understand how we got to this place.
Well, first and foremost, I appreciate you lifting up this issue, not only for the residents of Jackson, but for so many communities that resemble Jackson that deal with the same level or cycle of humiliation and insecurity with infrastructure and issues of environmental racism. This has been an issue since as long as I can remember. I moved to Jackson in 1988. In 1989, I distinctly remember a freeze that debilitated our water system. And there are too many times to count over the years in which we've had these challenges. This is due to a lack of investment in the system. It's due to white flight and divestment in the city in its entirety. It's due to a state that failed to take responsibility and recognize its level of responsibility to the residents of Jackson. And it's due to decades of deferred maintenance. And so we didn't get here overnight. These are challenges where you have too many issues to enumerate with the water treatment facility itself, a water treatment facility that was not functionally designed to begin with and has never operated optimally and has led to these challenges for the residents of not only instability in the water system, but equity challenges as well.
Mississippi's Republican governor, Tate Reeves, he ended the state of emergency November 22nd over the water crisis. And he has consistently blamed the locals. He has said that it's local authorities who are responsible for Jackson's water crisis. At the same time, Reeves and the Republican-controlled Mississippi state legislature have repeatedly vetoed or otherwise rejected the city's requests for infrastructure repairs. He's vetoed water project funding. Help me understand here, in your view, what is the biggest problem occurring here?
Well, it's issues of environmental racism. It's a community that is not fully valued, and therefore the state does not see any responsibility or need to fund the residents of Jackson, fund these challenges. These aren't Democratic problems. These aren't white or black problems. These are problems of human dignity, issues that residents simply deserve. The ability to turn on the faucet and know that water is going to come through that faucet and come through safely. So while the governor has attempted to wash his hands of this, you have properly noted that not only my administration has made several endeavors to get funding for our water system, to be quite honest, my predecessors have done the same. Too many to name. The city has had plan after plan and has made legislative request after legislative request in order to get the funding necessary for our water treatment facility.
Help us understand how this plays out, right? Because when we talk about systemic racism, which is what you're talking about when you say environmental racism, it's not as simple as saying, you know what, we're not giving black people clean water, or we're not giving poor people clean water, even if that's the ultimate consequence. How do they justify it? How do they explain it? How do they say we're not going to give infrastructure repairs for a system that was built in 1914 that clearly needs updating? How do they say we're not going to fund a water project? What's the logic and language that they use?
Well, it's language such as, you know, Jackson needs to fund its problems itself. It's language such as, you know, we aren't responsible for paying for Jackson's challenges. This is due to Jackson's lack of investment over the years, when the reality is that the money that we're asking for isn't actually state funds. It's federal funds that are sent through the state with the city of Jackson in mind, by and large. Federal funding that has been allocated. For instance, when we look at the infrastructure bill, this is through direct discussions with the White House, with the EPA administrator, and with an intended use plan for the state that carves out cities like Jackson to make sure that we don't receive the funding. And there have this has been the culture. This has been the effort over decades in order to eliminate Jackson in this way.
This is baffling to me. You're saying that the federal government has a economic investment in Jackson, at least at the planning level. They're saying the money should go to Mississippi and then to cities like Jackson because they're trying to develop infrastructure. They give it to the state with the express purpose of getting it to Jackson, and the state just says no. Does the federal government at that moment have any power to intervene? And if not, are they at least expressing their concern that the money's not getting to you?
Yeah. So first and foremost, the president himself, I had an opportunity to talk with him about 20 minutes at the height of this challenge. And he specifically expressed his concern over the lack of money actually reaching the city of Jackson through the state as its conduit, through the federal funds. And so this has been a concern for some time for the federal government. It is, you know, often a state that is led by Republican leadership that often did not support the federal funding that was issued, for instance, in the infrastructure bill. And they are given the task or the responsibility of issuing it. So it's how do we get it from its federal intent into Jackson's hands, the city that it actually is intended to go to. And so there is an effort to siphon off that money, siphon it to other priorities, other communities in which they value more than Jackson. And we see this time and time again.
The crisis in Jackson, of course, isn't happening in a vacuum. We've seen the results of chronic disinvestment, infrastructure neglect around the country, especially in poor cities that have significant populations of Black and brown people. Places like Flint, Michigan, places like Benton Harbor, Michigan. More than 80% of Jackson's residents are Black. Nearly a quarter of your population falls below the poverty line. You've talked about systemic racism. Help me understand how those two things reflect systemic racism. Because many people would say to you, this has nothing to do with race, this has nothing to do with class, it's just about broken water systems.
Yeah. Well, it has everything to do with prioritization and value, not valuing a community like Jackson. There have been investments, state investments in water systems outside of Jackson to replace the entire water lines of communities. There have been investments in places all across the state, and this is with actual state dollars. So once again, I think it's important to recognize that Jackson is not asking for anything beyond what it is deserving of the federal funds that recognize the challenges in Jackson, deserving of the federal dollars that are intended for the city, and also looking at how we have skin in the game. So we're taking
Mayor,
out loans.
Even if it weren't, right? Let's say the money wasn't targeted for you. It's hard for me to imagine that a town full of white people, middle-class white people, who had rust in the water, who got 300, y'all got 300 boil notices at one point. That's a notice that you got to boil the water to make sure that it's safe. It's hard for me to imagine that even if there were no funds targeted for this, that the state of Mississippi wouldn't find funds for middle-class white people, same way they would find them in Michigan or Pennsylvania or California or anywhere else. I mean, the fact that you even have to make the case that it's your money seems to me almost beside the point.
It's not only beside the point, it would be unheard of because these are issues of humanity. These are circumstances that we would find, you know, just lacking the basic human dignity that people deserve. And so this is why we're speaking to this. You know, we are taking out state revolving loan funds that in other states there are principal interest forgiveness that are far beyond what the state of Mississippi provides. One of the SRF loans, state revolving loan funds that we have taken out in order to make improvement in our system is $27 million. In Mississippi, the principal forgiveness that they offer the city of Jackson on that loan is $500,000. Woefully insufficient, not an investment from the state, making sure that cities like Jackson are saddled with debt and are crippled, are suffocated, are unable in order to make their improvements. And this is not only recognizing the value of the residents, this is recognizing the value of the city itself, which is three times larger than the next largest city, the overwhelming contributor to the state's coffers, that is not only the capital of the state of Mississippi, it's the capital of healthcare. It is the place where that the largest employer in the state, University of Mississippi Medical Center, exists. It is a college town that we often don't refer to it in that regard, but we have nearly 40,000 college students in the city of Jackson. And so this represents just humiliation on multiple levels, not only to the residents, but it is also the state cutting off its nose to spite its face, understanding that it will hurt the economic vitality of the state itself.
Mutual aid and community-led efforts to provide people with safe drinking water have been essential, frankly, in Jackson for years, and they've been consistent. At the same time, organizers have also called on the state to do more in response to the crisis. Just recently, protesters demanded the state of Mississippi to fully fund the city's water and sewage system issues and to provide residents with at-home water filtration devices. You grew up in a family that was heavily involved in local activism. You were an organizer yourself. Now you're in government. How do you take into account the people's voices as you move forward in fixing the system?
The people's voice is absolutely essential. They are a part. They are the most essential part of the equation, making sure that we recognize people's experience as we build a new water system, recognizing equity challenges. I keep mentioning equity. And what I mean by that is that we have parts of our city that is disproportionately affected by these water challenges, South Jackson and portions of West Jackson. Those communities are most disproportionately affected because they are the furthest from the water treatment facility and at the highest elevation. And so we have to recognize that city planning is never neutral, that it benefits someone and it works to the detriment of others. And so in our efforts to build a new system, we have to begin with the end in mind and make certain that we are providing the same level of service to all of our residents. When we look at how we fix this problem, the reason that we are against privatization, the reason that we are against regionalization is that we have to be able to do so in a way that, once again, doesn't move people from one state of misery to the next. Instead of moving our residents away with a water system that they can't afford, instead of pushing them away, we want to lift them up.
Mayor Chokwe Lumumba, thank you so much for joining us on Upfront.
Thank you.